morning, and tonight, it should be fairly short. I shouldn't say that, because you know how that is always. I think it's going to be short, and it ends up being long. I think it might be long, and it ends up being short. So I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know. We're only going to talk about one topic, though, tonight. We looked at three this morning, three G's. Remember what we said. We talked about Gethsemane, Golgotha, and the Garden Tomb. Tonight I want to take a little kind of, and that was the 4 days that literally changed the course of history. The four most important days in history was Gethsemane, the crucifixion, of course, and then the 3 days and three nights that Jesus spent in the tomb. You add that up, that's 4 days. And without Gethsemane, and of course without the crucifixion, and without the resurrection, we'd have no salvation. And so it was extremely important for those three things to take place. But we're going to kind of just go off that tonight. This fourth one has nothing to do with those, except this takes place right after the Garden Tomb and after the resurrection, and that is Galilee. Remember that Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection. He spent 40 days here on planet Earth. The question is what did he do with those 40 days? Where did he go? What did he do? Who did he see? I have some thoughts on that. Now, we don't know everything that's mentioned because the Bible is silent on that. Really, there's about a 32-day period in there that is pretty silent as to what he said or what he did or where he went. We do know that the night of his resurrection, he shows himself to the disciples. We all know that. Amen? And so Jesus enters into the room. He meets with the 10 of them. Thomas wasn't there. Judas was, of course, gone. But Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas missed the first, I call it the Jesus Christ sighting. Thomas missed the first one. But then a week later, they're gathered together again. And so Jesus shows himself again a week later, right? And so after that, the Bible is somewhat silent as to what happens. Towards the end of this, or sometime within that about 32-day period, he ends up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And of course, he prepares a fish breakfast for 7 of the disciples. We'll look at that a little bit. But what did he do in between that? What took place? Now, we know they came back to Jerusalem because that's Jesus left from the Mount of Olives. Right where he prayed is where he took off, or shortly in that area is where he ascended back to heaven. And that was 40 days after his resurrection. And then the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem for the next 10 days waiting for the Feast of Pentecost and, of course, for Pentecost to take place. And then after that, of course, you know the rest of the story of the book of Acts and all the things that the apostles did. But there's this 40-day period in which Jesus was here on this planet, and he was showing himself to several people. In Matthew chapter 28, let me just read a few of these verses here, and then we're going to go back to Matthew 26, and then we're going to get into this. Matthew 28 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you where? Into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Now go back to chapter 26 and verse 32. 26 and verse 32. 26 and verse 32. Jesus even made this prophecy here when he said in 26:32, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. It's good to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for just being with us throughout this day. We thank you, Lord, for the good turnout this morning. Lord, we just thank you that you have blessed us today. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out tonight. We pray that you would again speak to our hearts through the Word of God, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible is very clear that after the resurrection, Jesus was going to make his way to Galilee. Galilee was the area where Jesus grew up. Now think about that. Galilee, if you look at a map, I wish I had a map up here. I was thinking about trying to get the projector out and all that, but I didn't do that. Didn't have time. But some of you have maps in the back of your Bible, or you can look up a map later on. But if you look at the region of Galilee, you will see that Nazareth, the city where Jesus grew up, is at the southern part of the area of Galilee. Cana is not too far from there. Capernaum is there. The Sea of Galilee is there, obviously. Tiberias is there. A lot of the cities and a lot of the towns where Jesus went around, that was all in that area of Galilee. So, and if you also think about this, Galilee from Jerusalem, or Nazareth from Jerusalem, is about 65 miles. So there's this, and Nazareth is due north of Jerusalem on a map, about 65 miles. And so, for somebody to make that journey, for that time, it would probably take about, some people would differ on this, but maybe about a 5-day journey from Jerusalem to Nazareth, or from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. About 5 days. Remember, they walked everywhere. They didn't have their fancy cars like you have, or I have, you know, with Bluetooth and all this stuff that we have, and heated seats. I have heated seats. You know, separate controls for climate control in your car, because Kathy always wants it cold and I want it warm. And so, or a moonroof and all this other stuff that we have. You know, and you have some of those things too. And some of you even have cheaters. Yeah, some of you even have those little cheater things where you push the little button and the vehicle starts. Bob will be starting his as soon as the service is over. And some of you would do the same thing. And so we have all of these little niceties. They didn't have that. They may have ridden on donkeys or camels, or most of the time they walked everywhere they went. The disciples and Jesus primarily would walk. So here, after the resurrection, after the we see in Luke's gospel, of course, the road to Emmaus, Jesus is walking there and he meets up with two of the disciples and they have this conversation. But it also says in Luke's gospel that as soon as they knew who Jesus was, they went back to Jerusalem, which is about a 7-mile journey. So they're walking up to on that road to Emmaus, and they get there, and they realize who Jesus is. They rush back to Jerusalem. You try running back 7 miles. Most of us couldn't do that. But they did. And so they went back to Jerusalem. They told the disciples they've seen the Lord. They've talked to the Lord and all of that. So here's this area that's Galilee. The other interesting thing is that all of the disciples, as far as I can tell, were from that region. Their hometowns were all in the area of Galilee. Peter came from Capernaum. Several of them came from Cana. Jesus himself, do you remember where Jesus was raised? Nazareth. All right, so that's where they all would go. After the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after about a week after the resurrection, I think they all head north. And they go back to their homes. The disciples went back up that way. And you know who else went that way is Jesus Christ, who was found in Galilee shortly thereafter. We also know that two of the half-brothers of Jesus, now go over to Mark, you know this, but let's take a look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, in verse 1. Mark 6 and verse 1. You can have a really good discussion with a Catholic with this passage of Scripture. Of course, you know what Catholics believe, that Mary was a perpetual virgin. She never had a relationship with her husband, Joseph, that she had no other children. And yet the Bible differs on that. And so, as I say so often, if the Bible differs from some tradition or some teachings in another church, I'll take the Bible over the teaching any day. Wouldn't you do that too? This is my authority. And so it says in Mark 6, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. I was looking at a commentary on my program before tonight. And this one commentator, he was saying, well, you know, you got to understand that the Bible terminology, when it says brothers and sisters, they were probably cousins or some relation, close relation. But again, I don't take what he says. I take what the Bible says. And if it says brothers and his sisters are here, and it even names three brothers, James, Joseph, and Judah. Oh, four, I'm sorry, and Simon. So there's four brothers named there by name. And then it just says sisters. So he had at least two sisters, if not more, right? So Mary and Joseph had a nice sized family after Jesus was born. And that's documented here in the Word of God. And so, and let me read the next two verses. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. This verse always amazed me. He could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now remember, where is he? He's in the area or the neighborhood of his hometown of Nazareth. And Cana is a very short distance away. From, I think, Nazareth over to Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. It's about a 7 mile, I think I wrote it down here. What is it? It's about a 17 miles from Nazareth over to the Sea of Galilee. Pretty much due east of Nazareth, maybe slightly north. And it would take about a five to six hour walk from Nazareth to go over to the Sea of Galilee. And that's where we find, we're going to go there in a few minutes, we won't go there right now, but this is where we find in John's Gospel where they all are. They're out fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus meets them on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. So they were up in that neighborhood for a good share of the time, maybe 30 days or so. I don't know, it doesn't say. But here's what I tend to believe, and it's not written down, so we got to be careful about that. Don't go out of here saying that I believe this, you know, 100%. I'm only going to give you what I think. All right, so I'm just going to give you a little bit what I think here is taking place. You have to remember that at least we know that two of his brothers, James and Jude, did not become believers until after the resurrection. Jesus grew up in a household where his brothers and sisters may have had a hard time understanding who he was. They knew he was different, but they probably didn't get along with him that well. It kind of reminds me of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was a godly young man. Jacob favored him, made him a coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him, literally hated him. They wanted to kill him. I think it was Reuben that stopped the killing. And said, let's just, you know, throw him in a pit for a while. And then Reuben goes off and he comes back. And, of course, they've already sold him into slavery. And so, but they hated Joseph because he was a godly man. And I wonder often, how did the brothers and sisters look at Jesus? I mean, you talk about mom and dad's best little boy there. Jesus Christ was their best son. And he did nothing wrong. And who knows, you know, when he was growing up. Now, remember this, please. Some people believe and some fictitious movies have depicted that Jesus was performing miracles as a child. That is false. As far as we know, Jesus never performed a miracle prior to him being baptized. John chapter 2, he performs his first miracle. The Bible says this is the first miracle, turning water into wine. In John chapter 4, the Bible specifically says he performed his second miracle when he healed the nobleman's son. So we know first miracle, second miracle are recorded in the Bible. Nothing prior to his baptism is recorded at all. The only thing we see is when he was a baby, a young child, and then at the age of 12, that's it. So the next 18 years, we don't know what Jesus was doing. But apparently he was there with his parents. I have no doubt about that. Apparently he was growing up, obviously, with his brothers and sisters. And he was an outstanding child. He was an outstanding teenager, young adult in his 20s, living with mom and dad. And I really believe that his brothers and sisters may have strongly resented him for the way that he lived his life. And who knows, I mean, when his brothers and sisters were out doing wrong, Jesus, there's nothing wrong with this. If they're doing something wrong, he could have come in and said, Mom and Dad, you need to go check on Simon. You need to go check on this one. You need to go check on that one. Just go check on them, you know. Just you know, you'll find out what they're doing. I don't know. It doesn't say, but we do know that two of his brothers actually wrote part of the Bible. James, half-brother. James wrote the book of James. And Jude wrote the book of Jude. And they didn't become believers until after the resurrection. Of course, in Luke chapter 2, we see things rapidly. We see his birth. We see now he's at 12 years old. So there's a 12-year span in Luke chapter 2. Picking up in verse 39, it says, And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year, at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in a temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, you see the two fathers? One is a small F, the other one's a capital F. So one is Joseph, and the other, of course, is his heavenly father. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we know where he grew up. He grew up in this area called Nazareth. That was his hometown. We know that when he first came on the scene, who was it? One of them said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Who said that? Philip or not Andrew, not Philip, Nathaniel. I think, was it Nathaniel that said that? Nathaniel, did you say that 2,000 years ago? Okay, I thought you did. One of them said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so Nazareth had a bad reputation as a town, as a city. But Jesus grew up there. And so what would keep him from going back to that area and trying to see his family, trying to see his brothers? I personally think that James and Jude saw him, talked with him, and boy, I tell you, they became believers quick. And then we find him over by the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 21. And you know the story. We won't spend a lot of time on that.
But you know what happened there in John chapter 21. Jesus, of course, has risen from the dead, and of course he's appeared twice now to the apostles there in Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, after chapter 20, we see and we find him there at the Sea of Tiberias. And so again, thinking about this, remember, this area is north of Jerusalem. So now Jesus didn't, from what I can gather, Jesus, the only time he walked after his resurrection was with the two disciples as they were walking on the road to Emmaus. Other than that, I think Jesus was able to just think and go from one place to another. He went through walls. He appeared to his disciples in that particular way. So he didn't have to toil in walking. The other disciples had to do some toiling and some walking to get to their destination. And so we find them here on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, after in verse 1 of chapter 21. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So seven of these guys are getting in a boat and they're going off fishing. It's Peter's idea to go fishing. Remember, Peter was a fisherman along with the other individuals here. But it's also interesting, and we could stop and spend some time on this, but Peter was the leader. And Peter says, I'm going fishing, guys. And they all say, we'll go with you. And so they just kind of, Peter was this leader, this kind of a natural born leader. And the other six just, yeah, okay, we'll go too. And so off they go. They get in a boat and they go out and they fish. And of course, the Bible says they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. It's interesting in verse 6, they didn't argue. They said, listen, we've been out here all night. We haven't caught a thing out here all night. You're crazy. What do you know? They didn't know it was Jesus at this point. Until they just said, okay, so they throw the net over, and then they realized when they couldn't bring this net up with all the fishes, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, of course, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him. That means dare to ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And you know the rest of the story there, how he asks Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And he's also told there, Peter is told how he is going to die. He's going to be crucified. The Lord doesn't say how John is going to die. And so Peter immediately thinks that John is going to live forever. And so Jesus had to rebuke him for that. But here's the point that I'm trying to make, is that Jesus was there for his disciples. He had the meal, the breakfast already made for them. He didn't need the fish that they caught. When they brought the fish to land and they counted it out, 153, I don't know what they did with the fish. They probably sold it that day or whatever. I don't know. I mean, that was their business, was fishing. So they probably took the fish down to the market, sold the fish. And the fish there on the Sea of Galilee is great. We've had it. It's called Peter's Fish. It's actually there now. Great big, flat, wonderful pan fish. Tastes great. And that's probably what they had. But Jesus already had some bread cooking, baked, He already had some fish there all prepared for them. And he said to them, as we sing in the song, come and dine. Come on over. Let's sit down and have a meal together. Jesus loved fellowshipping with his disciples. He always loved doing that. And by the way, he loves fellowshipping with us today. I think he says it every day. When you open up that book and you start praying to the Lord, he says, come and dine. Let's have a meal together. Because remember, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So when we sit down with God every day, when we open up our Bibles and we spend time reading, we should every day. You eat physical food every day. We need to be feeding on the Word of God. And I believe that the invitation is still there today. Come and dine. Let's sit down together. Let's fellowship together. Let's, you know, well, you pray and you read and I'll give you what you need from the Word of God. But Jesus showed himself. He declared himself to his apostles. And we believe that Jesus only appeared to those probably that were, I think, again, you believe whatever you want, but I personally believe that he may have showed himself to his brothers, his family, his immediate family, and that could have caused James and Jude to become believers, but primarily he was ministering to other Christians, ministering to his disciples, to his very apostles, those that he actually ordained. Jesus actually makes the statement that the Bible makes the statement that the 12 that he chose, I only have 10 fingers, so, the 12 that he chose, he ordained just the 12. There were other apostles and disciples, but he only ordained 12 of them, the Bible says. So these were special to Jesus Christ. These were his ordained group that was going out doing all the preaching and teaching and serving him. He loved them. He wanted Peter to ask Peter, Peter, you know, how much do you really love me? I have no doubt that Peter loved the Lord greatly when he was being questioned here. You can see that in the book of Acts. I mean, Peter's life was changed after the resurrection of Christ. All of the disciples, their lives were changed after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Galilee, really, it says so much about Galilee. The Bible after his resurrection. There is a purpose behind that. There is a plan behind that. God had, he had an appointment to make with these disciples, just as he makes an appointment with us. I kind of look at Galilee as you and I have a Galilee. Our Galilee is when we meet with the Lord. Our Galilee is when we walk with him and we talk with him. And that should be our Galilee. That should be the time or the place that we meet with him. Because that's where he met primarily, was in that area of Galilee. And so I hope and pray tonight that you have a Galilee. I hope and pray that you have a special time, that you can go to the Lord and have a time in which you can gather with him and allow him to say those two words. No, come and dine. Three words, sorry. Come and dine, and allow us to come and dine with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what we've seen and heard tonight about Galilee. A very special place, a very special place to you. You grew up there. The disciples grew up there, Lord, and we see you back there again after.